each one. Has any of you, now listen, I don't need amens on this, okay? The message is on failure. By the way, the title of the message is A Failure Who Made Good. A Failure Who Made Good. Has any of you ever received the dreaded letter grade F on a test or a project or a paper? Or something you had was going to be turned in and it was so awful you just skipped the class. Huh? It's terrible, isn't it? To get an F on something. Now, praise God, some of us have been out of school so long we can't even remember. Hallelujah. Amen. But I don't know about you, but I don't like failure. I'd rather succeed than fail. We have our softball team, and listen, if I'm playing left field, which hopefully I'm not this year, my bones are getting tired, amen, but I would rather catch the ball than drop the ball. I would rather, Brother Jim, slap a double in the gap than pop up to second. I'd rather succeed than fail. I looked up in the Oxford English Dictionary of the word failure. It's a noun. It means a lack of success. An unsuccessful person, enterprise, or thing. The omission of expected or required action. A lack or deficiency of desirable quality. The action or state of mind of not functioning. I was in the aerospace industry, and you had what were called minor failures, and then you had critical failure, which meant that the engine could literally blow up if a critical failure took place. I want you to look with me, and I've got three simple points, and I've got 10 applications tonight. So or four simple points. I want you to notice with me Mark's history, number one. Mark's history tonight. If you're in the book of Acts, just go back just a page and look at Acts chapter 12. I just went to try to adjust my glasses. That tells you when you've been wearing glasses too long. Amen. Push them right up and they're not there. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 12. And the story at the beginning of Acts chapter 12 is when Peter was imprisoned. You remember? And God sent an angel and slapped him on the side and said, "Get out of here." Amen. And loosed him. And he went to where they were having a prayer meeting. Where they were praying. And by the way, if you want a story of humanity, here they are, they're praying, "Oh Lord, please let Peter out of jail. Oh Lord, let Peter out of jail." Here. Who is it? It's Peter. Hang on a second. "Hey, everybody, it's Peter." "Well, that can't be." That's the way we pray sometimes, isn't it? Come on now. We're surprised when God answers our prayers. But there was a prayer meeting. But if you notice in verse number 11 of chapter 12, it said, "And when Peter was come to himself," same phrase that's used in the prodigal son, amen, when he came to himself, "it said, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jews.' And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of" who? Mary, the mother of who? John, whose surname was Mark, "where many were gathered together praying." So what do we learn about Mark? He was the son of Mary, and Mary's house was a gathering place of the early church in Jerusalem. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this, that John Mark was acquainted with some great Christians. You know, I'm glad that my boys, who are probably sleeping right now, like a lot of the other kids in the church, and God bless them, they can sleep in church on Sunday night. I'm okay with that. Now, Brother Horsch, I'd like you to stay awake, please, brother. Amen. I'm okay with little kids falling asleep in church. You say, "Oh, well, they should stay awake." Well, you were little once too, so I'm glad they're here.
Yeah.
And I'm glad the parents bring them here rather than stay at home and sleep.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm glad my children are acquainted with Lowell and Pat McGee.
Yeah.
I'm glad my children are acquainted with Marjorie Hirth. And I'm not excluding anybody. I'm glad my children are acquainted with Jim and Kim Boston. I'm glad my children are acquainted with Ed and Sherry Cook.
Yeah.
You know, John Mark was around some great Christians, and he knew what it was to be around a great church. I hope with all your heart you want your kids to be involved in this church.
Yeah.
and part of this church. And so he was the son of Mary. But you know what else he was? If you'll look down a little further there, he was also the son of Mary. And Mary, according to Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, you have to go there, you can write it down, was the sister of Barnabas. So Barnabas was John Mark's uncle. Now Barnabas, great Christian, great Christian. And so he was the nephew of Barnabas, the son of Mary. 1 Peter 5:13, the apostle Peter calls him John Mark, my beloved son. He was a possible convert of Peter, who, it makes sense. Here he was, just got out. Peter, you got out, the Lord deliver you. Tell me how to be saved. Tell me how to be saved. This is something. And so, and then we know, according to verse, 25 there of chapter 12, if you look there, verse 24 tells us the word of God grew and multiplied. It said, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and when they had fulfilled their ministry, they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So here's John Mark with Paul and Barnabas, and he goes out on the first missionary journey. And of course, Acts chapter 13, the church calls them and sends them out like still ought to happen. Amen, amen, amen. But then we see not only Mark's history, but we see Mark's tragedy, don't we? We see Mark's tragedy. And Mark's tragedy is found in verse number 13, which says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came unto Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. If you go over just a couple pages into Acts chapter 15, this account is recounted. We preached not too long ago on divinely dealing with disagreement and how Paul and Barnabas really aren't a model of how to get things right with one another. Now, they're both good men, and God doubled his ministry in a Romans 8:28 way, but we looked at what was the bone of contention between them. Well, it was Mark's tragedy. And it says there in verse number 37 of Acts chapter 15, verse 37 of Acts chapter 15, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So what was Mark's tragedy? He left the mission field. He left Paul and Barnabas. We've talked about it. When a Christian leaves a church, now again, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understand that there are good reasons to leave a church. There are good reasons to leave a church. I don't think there's too many good reasons to leave this one. Music's right, Bible's right, hopefully the preacher tries to stay right, preaches the Word of God. But I'm talking about, listen, if a church is going liberal, going away from the doctrines of the Word of God from which it was founded, that's a church worth leaving. But here they were on the mission field reaching people and working. And remember, listen, what happens when somebody leaves a church, they make it harder for those that are there. Remember the story about when they let Paul down in a basket? There was a whole bunch of it. It doesn't say how many. It just said there was a bunch of them. They held that rope and let him down. I've preached on that. I've said, Brother Childers, what if one just said, you know, I'm tired of holding the rope. I'm leaving. You ever do that in a tug of war? Somebody falls down. You VBS workers, God bless you, amen. Somebody falls down in the tug of war, and usually I'm the guy with the rope wrapped around me, and I start getting pulled like this, amen. Why? Because somebody left their post. And that's what Mark did. For whatever reason, he left the field. And I have a little quote here that God gave me. Missionary work and Christian service may begin with romanticism, but it is soon met by harsh realism. Yesterday was a busy day. Pastor Donald and the teens were gone. We had several folks out of town. Just a busy day, amen. We went out blitzing. It was me and my family that went out blitzing yesterday. Now, listen, that's okay. There's a lot of times where there's tons of us. And we had folks that made visits on folks. I thank God for that. But sometimes that preacher that's all full of zeal, getting ready to go out there and start a church. I'll never forget my pastor telling me the story. Started a church, was in a storefront in Holyoke, Massachusetts. And it was him and his wife and his little boy that's now in heaven. And at one point, he was just preaching away on a Sunday night like this to his wife and his one-year-old son. And his wife said, "Eric, I'm sorry, but I have to take him out and change him." And so there he was preaching to wood and metal. Hey, romanticism to go out and start a church, Brother Childers. Realism when ministry hits. And what happened to John Mark? I don't know. I think you can boil it into this. The Bible says, as Brother Childers was talking about, in 2 Timothy 2:4, it tells us, it commands us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Generals will tell you they want their armies lean and hungry, not fat and bored. Why? Because lean and hungry soldiers, those that can endure some hardship when the war comes, they're ready for it. I just have just a few thoughts under Mark's track. Why did he fail? Why did he fail? We're talking about failure tonight. Well, there's a couple things. Perhaps it was physical hardship. I thought about this and all the journeying that Paul and Barnabas and John Mark did. I don't know about you. This is me in a boat. You ever been physically ill all the time? Brother Childers mentioned about drinking water. You know, we're upset if our water smells a little sulfury, but it's fine to drink. You go to some place. I remember when I went to the Philippines, I determined no water and no ice chips. I drank more Coca-Cola when I was in the Philippines than I probably have since I've been your pastor. Amen. Just think about it. Just physical hardship, the physical hardship of ministry. Perhaps that was it for John Mark. Maybe it was emotional hardship. I've heard this preached a lot. He got homesick. He just missed home. You know, these precious missionaries. I think of a dear missionary. We've had him in, Brother Jeff Nordquist in Althea. She's a Tharp sister. All her family gets together, and she's in Brazil. All by herself. Missing her family at Christmas time. Thanksgiving. All the times you get together. Maybe it was emotional hardship. Maybe it was physical hardship. Maybe it was spiritual hardship. I don't know if you were paying attention as we were responsively reading, but you see stuff like hatred of the Jews, sorcery. I'm telling you, you ever been around something like that? I talked to a dear pastor friend. Him and another pastor went into the house of a person that they believe was demon-possessed, and they went in there, prayed, and he said, I said, "What'd you do after he prayed?" He said, "We got out of there quick." It's nothing to mess around with or play around with. And sometimes a young man that he's going out in the field and he wants to serve God and he wants this to happen. But what happened? He got overcome by something. We don't know what it is. He left and he failed. But I'm thankful that one of the points we're going to talk about is failure's not final. Amen? Amen? We see Mark's history. We see Mark's tragedy, but praise God, back there in Acts chapter 15, and we've already read it, we see Mark's opportunity again. You know, the Word of God came to Jonah the second time, didn't it? After he ran from God, after God said, "Go this way," and he went that way. God prepared that whale to swallow him, and he cried out from the belly of hell, the Bible says. You know, by the way, thank God Barnabas, Uncle Barnabas, probably had that pathos for his nephew when he duked it out with Saul, Paul, amen. He had the compassion to say, "Give him another chance." Aren't you glad God is the God of the second, fourth, 537th chance? I'm telling you, my life verse is Luke 1:37. I thought about maybe 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But Brother Jim, the longer I'm saved, I think it's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Mark's history, Mark's tragedy, Mark's opportunity. And I want you to go with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This will be the end of our points, and then I'll give you the applications here. And I'm mindful of time. It's 10 after 7. We're doing good. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. There's also a parallel passage that I want to read. I'll just go ahead and read it. It's in Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. It says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Now that's the Apostle Paul writing that, the same one who didn't want to take Mark on the missions journey. He said, these only are a comfort to me. But then in 2 Timothy 4:11, he says, only Luke is with me. Good old faithful Luke, amen. Thank the Lord. Faithful to that old man of God at the end. But he said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So we see Mark's history, we see Mark's tragedy, we see Mark's opportunity, and at the end, you know what? We see Mark's victory. He made the oft-traveled journey to the city of success on the road of failure. Huh? He made the oft-traveled journey to the city of success on the road of failure. Let me give you, if I could, some lessons from failure tonight. If you want to write these down, great. I would offer you my notes, but they're pretty hand-scrabbled here. Failure, number one, failure can lead to success through perseverance. Failure can lead to success through perseverance. By the way, some of these points will intersect one with another. But the verse that came to mind there was Galatians 6:9, and be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap, if you faint not. I was looking for a quote for this point, and I'll tell you what one came to mind. It was a quote by Charles Spurgeon. He said this, by perseverance the snail reached the ark. You know, probably the rabbit ran by, shoo, amen. Two rabbits ran by, and the next thing you know there was eight rabbits in the ark. I don't know, amen. Or then a kangaroo ran by, or a cheetah, or whatever. They all just zipped by, and here's the snail. You know, sometimes we see failure and we don't realize that it's the seed of success. But it just requires some perseverance. You say, what's perseverance means? It means good old-fashioned stick-to-itiveness. And I said this morning, I quoted Edison. He said, I haven't failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. I like that. Amen? Failure can lead to success through perseverance. Number two. Something about failure. Failure humbles us. Amen. Amen. Failure humbles us. Two Bible examples come to mind right away. The prodigal son who had it all figured out. Till the money dried up. The friends dried up. As soon as the money dried up, the friends, quote unquote friends. And then what did he say? He had to say, I've sinned. And he had to humble himself and go back to... You know, failure will do that for you. Failure in the business world will humble you. But let me tell you, failure in the spiritual world will humble you. When you fail God and you know you failed God and you've given in an area that you said you wouldn't, how about the Apostle Peter? Though all men forsake thee, I'll never forsake thee. Miss Judy, I think he meant it. And then he denied Christ three times and cursed and swore at a little girl. And Jesus looked at him and he went out and wept bitterly. You know what? Failure will humble us, folks. I've said so many times, the chapter I have read most, I believe, in the Word of God is Isaiah 53. I read it at every Lord's table, Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. And then after Genesis, because we're all good starters, Genesis in January, amen? I think I've read Psalm 51 the most because I failed God so many times. And I had to go to David when he failed God. And what God... Failure will humble us. Failure will humble us. Failure can lead to success through perseverance. Number three, failure banishes self-dependence. A story. And thank God for... By the way, young preacher boys, Pastor Donald starting a preacher club, the Bible has more illustrations than any illustration book you could ever buy. The Bible illustrates itself. You want an example of failure and self-dependence? Here it is. There was a father in Mark chapter 9 who had a son that was possessed of a devil. Yeah. Remember that story? And he came and he was talking and he was talking to the disciples, and Jesus came in a little bit later and he said, why question with them? He said, well, look, I have my son and he's possessed of a devil and I brought him to your disciples to cast him out. Now, Jesus had given them power to do that, but the Bible says they could not. And after Jesus cast him out and that boy was thrown down and torn, they pulled Jesus aside privately and said, why could we not cast him out? You know what failure does? It banishes self-dependence. You start depending on yourself and you fail. I'll tell you what, it'll put that pride to bed, won't it? And that's what it is, pride. Self-dependence is pride. It'll banish self-dependence. Number four, failure will show us weak spots that need work. You know what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:3? He said, we put no confidence in the flesh. You know, a lot of people fail God because they put confidence in their flesh. Come on. Failure, when we fail God, when we give in to some temptation that we know we shouldn't, failure can show us our weak spots. A lot of you know I'm a sports fan, and when it comes to football, I don't necessarily like the touchdown, Brother Childers. I like the block. I love the block. Love to see a guy seal the end and just do his job, and their guy runs around him and gets all the glory. But if that guy didn't make that block, there's no glory. And one of the greatest centers that ever played in the center, when you want to talk about a position, boy, that is just no glory in that position at all. But you got your hand on the ball every snap. His name is Mike Webster. Played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Brother Hendershot. Good thing Brother Leonard's not here. I'd have crosstalk going on here. Amen. And Mike Webster came in to the Pittsburgh Steelers as they were just starting their great run of the 70s. And Mike Webster every day had to go against a man named Ernie Holmes, who was a monster defensive tackle. He was just a beast. And Mike Webster every day would get beat by Ernie Holmes. He just beat him to nothing, just beat him to shreds, and just beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him. And finally, all that failure, Mike Webster looked at his technique and he looked at his strength and he started working on those weak spots. And the next year at camp, he came and went against Ernie Holmes, and Ernie Holmes couldn't move him. And Ernie Holmes said to Joe Green, he said, I don't know what happened, but he has gotten stronger. And Ernie Holmes couldn't move him again. And so finally, they switched spots, and Joe Green, the great defensive tackle, Joe Green couldn't move him. Because Mike Webster had failed, but had recognized weak spots because of that failure. You know, failure will do that for us. Failure is quite a teacher. It really, really is. So, number five, failure will reveal, or I'm sorry, number four, failure will show weak spots that need work. How about this one? Boy, I could preach an entire message on this, but I won't, and all God's people said. Failure shows us that God can work in spite of us. Failure shows us that God can work in spite of us. Let me just quickly, I won't preach it, I'll read it to you. There is a passage that shows us this in the Bible. It's usually read quickly. And it's this. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Failure begat failure. And Isaac begat Jacob. Failure begat failure. Huh? And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Failure begat failure. And you could go on and on down this list and see failure after failure after failure after failure after failure. Hey, you want to go to the Hall of Faith? It could be called the Hall of Failure. I think if memory serves, there's only two, maybe three, in that Hall of Faith that you can't find one thing about. And that's Abel, Enoch, maybe Joseph. That's my count. But everybody else failed God, and some failed God miserably, and yet God still can work. Now, I hope you understand what I'm preaching here. I'm not saying alleviating us from responsibility and just do anything you want because God can work anyway. I'm saying that when you've tried and failed, God can still work. God can still work. Number six, failure is a great motivator not to fail again. I grew up in New England and had the privilege of watching the Boston Celtics when Larry Bird played for Boston. And I say it really was a privilege to grow up in that and to see just the way they passed the ball. It was so team-oriented. It was no dunking and no look at me. It was just let's win the game kind of a thing. And Larry Bird used to take 1,000 free throws every day. He'd get up and he'd take 1,000 free throws. You know why, Brother Bill? Because he said, when I got to the end of the game, I didn't want to fail. I didn't want to fail. I wanted to make sure that I wouldn't fail. Michael Jordan himself said, failure always made me try harder. Failure is a great motivator not to fail again. Number seven, failure is not fatal. Failure is not fatal. Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times. And hit 714 home runs. That means he struck out twice as many times as he hit home runs. And his home run record lasted almost 60 years. Ty Cobb made outs 63% of the time. And he still holds the record for the highest career batting average of 367. He made out 63% of the time. Failure is not fatal. The New York Mets in 1962 lost 120 games. Your beloved Tigers almost tied them a couple years ago. Amen. In 1962, they lost 120 games. Casey Stengel said about that team, come see my Mets. They find new ways to lose that I never knew existed. Amen. And just 7 years later, the miracle Mets, when men walked on the moon, Mets walked with World Series pennant in hand, beating the great Baltimore Orioles. Because failure is not fatal. It's not fatal. Listen to this. There's a great character in American history. Had a difficult childhood. He had less than 1 year of formal schooling. He failed in business. In 31. He failed for the legislature in 32. He failed in business again in 33. He was elected to the legislature in 34. The death of his fiance in 35. Failed for speaker in 38. Failed for elector in 40. He was married in 42. Only one of his four sons lived past the age of 18. He failed for Congress in 43. He was elected to Congress in 46. He failed for Congress again in 48. Failed for Senate in 55. Failed for Vice President in 56. Failed for Senate in 58. And Abraham Lincoln was elected president in 1860. Boy, that's a lot of failure. But it's not fatal. It's not fatal. Eight. Failure. Final failure, failure final, is just refusing to try again. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Proverbs 24:16 tells us, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You know what happens if you fail? Try again. Pastor, I failed in my Bible reading. Read your Bible before you go to bed tonight. You'll be a success. Pastor, I failed in my prayer life. Pray before you go to bed tonight. You'll be a success. Pastor, I failed in witnessing. Take five gospel tracts and determine you're going to pass them out this week. You'll be a success. Number nine. I've said this, so I won't dwell long, but failure teaches us far more than success. See, it's not in the success that we learn, it's in the failure. It's in the failure that inventors like Edison and Henry Ford. You know, Henry Ford forgot to put reverse gear in the first car he made. I'm glad he fixed that. Hallelujah. But he failed. He failed. Let me give you the last one. Number 10, failure is a companion of those who attempt great things. Failure is a companion of those. See, some people never fail because they never do anything. Failure is a companion of those who attempt great things. I want to close with this little, I guess it would be just paragraph by President Teddy Roosevelt. And I put it next to Nehemiah 4:2 in my Bible. Remember that when Tobiah and Sanballat were trying to discourage the building of the wall? And he said, what do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps? And I have this little paragraph by Teddy Roosevelt. It said, it's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the door of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcomings. Who knows the great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the high achievement and triumph, who at worst, if he fails while daring greatly, knows his place shall never be with those timid, cold souls who neither know victory nor defeat. You see, John Mark was a failure who made good. You know what I'm looking at tonight? I'm looking at a whole bunch of failures. And I don't mean that derogatory. I mean, if you put a mirror in front of me, you know what I'd see? A failure. A failure. I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better husband. I failed this week as a preacher. I failed this week as a husband. I'm sure I failed this week as a dad. But you know, failure can teach us. And failure can help us to succeed. A failure who made good. Father, thank you that you love us failures.